This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Rongi, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out.
St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
On 104.1 FM.
Let's take it from the top.
KMOX.
Oh, baby, it's opening day. It is opening day. 104.1 FM, KMOX. Amy and Chris, good day to you.
Happy opening day, everyone.
Show is happening.
We did it.
Yeah, we did it. We are finally here. It doesn't matter what the weather's going to be today. It doesn't matter if rain comes later or not.
Okay, well,
it doesn't matter.
Say that. There's still a game to play, Ron. It's not all about you and a roof over your head.
No, we're talking about us, you know? And you know what else, Amy? It does not matter if you don't have tickets for Kegs and Eggs or a table for First Pitch Breakfast because we get to be here.
Oh my gosh.
If you didn't get tickets for either of those things, you missed out.
You did miss out, but it's going to be a really fun day. I think, again, I've said this every day this week, but Ronj nailed it on the head. It is like Christmas Day. You talk about it for months, but suddenly when it's here, it somehow catches you by surprise, and I can't believe it's opening day. It's Christmas Day for the baseball world. I love it.
Yeah, we're going to have a fun show for you today. We'll talk to Major Garrett, as we always do on Thursdays, Chip Carey, Bill DeWitt III, Benji and Polo from the Spanish broadcast,
yeah.
And then Rooney and Ricky. John Rooney, Rick Horton will join the show as well. We're getting you ready for Cardinals baseball this afternoon against the Minnesota Twins.
I love it. And the first year ever that you can drive around all of the St. Louis area, the bi-state area, really, and listen to Cardinals baseball on FM.
That's right.
Crystal
because
clear.
Because we used to be on that 98.7.
Which was not a real station.
It,
you know, I don't want to get into the weeds. It was a translator. That's as weedy as I'll get. And it was very weak. Very weak signal. Might be the weakest. We're looking into it.
But
104.1, beautiful FM station.
Dude, and I'm telling you, if you have not listened to baseball on FM or even on the Odyssey app, it sounds great on the Odyssey app too. You're gonna lose your mind when you turn on FM baseball. It sounds awesome. The detail, the clarity. Ugh. Let's go.
What makes you more excited? The red jackets? Or when the gates open and the Clydesdales come out?
It's the horses.
Yeah.
It's always the... Look.
But you got to admit, the cars with all the red jackets driving around, that's
red
pretty
jackets,
cool.
Red jackets, people, old men in suits. Show me the horses.
Suits.
I love the horses so much.
It is amazing.
There is nothing more impressive. Fine. Hall of Famers. Big deal. Those giant horses, when you see a Clydesdale up close, you think to yourself... I wish I was that big.
I think it'd
be great if I was
a Clydesdale.
It's
kind of like a moose. You don't realize how big things are in real life until you see them. Kind of like a traffic signal. Those are huge. You don't realize it though,
right?
Until you're right next to one.
I got a question.
Yes.
This is off the topic, but not really.
Okay.
Is a moose bigger than a Clydesdale? Somebody look that up.
No, oh, yeah. A moose is like 11 feet tall. I'm not even joking.
Now, here's the difference.
Most people listening right now are probably thinking, I've never thought about what I would look like next to a moose. But if, I mean, you'd be shocked.
A moose is very dangerous. They are aggressive. They're very territorial. They will kill you. A Clydesdale, docile, nice, beautiful up close.
Useful. So always that, willing to pull something.
Maybe it's sacrilegious that I said that I love the Clydesdales more than the Red Jackets, but I can't help it. I can't help it. I love it.
I think it's the whole thing. It's going to be a ton of fun. So we do want to hear from you. Mm-hmm. You can text us all day long. If you're at Kegs and Eggs, it'd be great if you texted us 314-436-7900.
I'll give you my private number too.
Well, we'll be broadcasting from there, but you could text us and say, "Hey, I'm two tables back." If you're not at Kegs and Eggs, we want to know, how are you listening? How are you listening to Cardinals baseball? How are you listening to opening day today? Are you at a friend's house? Did you all take off work? Because it should be a citywide holiday.
Yeah, we were talking to, did Pag say it? I can't remember who said it yesterday, that opening, or maybe it was Ackerman who said it, that it should just be a holiday. Everybody should just have the day off on opening
day. My cousin went to undergrad at a really small school in Florida. And when they opened, when the Walmart opened, all the schools, the kids got off school and people got off work. So I feel like if they could do that for the Walmart, we should do this for opening day.
I totally agree. And we don't know what the Cardinals season is going to end up being like, but I love that opening day, everything is 0-0. And it's just like, hey, who knows? Maybe this will end up being an awesome season for the team. It's good to feel good on opening day. I love that. We will be here again. Odyssey app, send us a voice message or send us a text. 314-436-7900. Tell us how you are enjoying opening day. When we come back, though, we will talk to Chief Washington Correspondent for CBS News, Major Garrett, with us on the Chris and Amy Show, 104.1 FM KMOX. It is the Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX, and it is time to go to the guest line. We're doing it a little bit of a different time because it is opening day. We visit with the Chief Washington Correspondent for CBS News, host of America Decides on CBS News 24/7. It is Major Garrett with us on a Thursday. Major, happy opening day to you and your Padres.
Happy opening day to everyone in St. Louis, the greatest baseball city in America. And I say that not with envy, but with pride as a son of the University of Missouri. I got to understand baseball in St. Louis when I went to the University of Missouri for 4 years. My city loves baseball. San Diego loves the Padres, but there's no baseball city in America like St. Louis. So it's a grand day. Happy opening day to everybody.
Wow, that is the highest of praise. And Major, I do need to ask you, have you ever been to opening day at Busch Stadium with the Clydesdales?
No. I've been to Old Busch Stadium, I've been to New Busch Stadium, but not on opening day. No, I've only been to opening day in my beloved hometown of San Diego as a kid.
If you're ever available, I feel like we could help get you in, you know?
I think we could get you.
I think we could do this.
We could get you on a Clydesdale, Major.
Well, I don't know about the Clydesdale. They're like the president with Secret Service. You can't get close to him.
Okay, that's a look America does not need to have.
If you were, I will say people would be like, he's a real major, like in the cavalry.
No.
You could host America Decides from the top of a Clydesdale.
No.
Okay.
No. All right. Well, I guess you put the kibosh on that.
All right. So let's talk about something more fun. Like
group texts.
Yeah, group texts.
Major, I guess if you don't laugh, you cry. There was classified information on this Houthi PC small group text, of which Jeffrey Goldberg was inadvertently a part of. And can we just get, I guess, you're a journalist. what are your thoughts on this? And can you imagine, like, if that were you, if that had been your name?
Right. So there's so many ways to take this story. First of all, when the White House says, as it has all week long, that the biggest part of this story is that there were aggressive military actions taken against Houthi rebels who have, for a considerable period of time, more than a year, bedeviled and redirected the free navigation of the waterways to the detriment of global trade, and they're trying to stop that. That's an important part of this story that should not in any way, shape, or form be forgotten. So straight up, this administration is taking a different military approach than the Biden administration. We can get into why in a minute. And that was the big part of this group text. That was the most important part of what it was communicating. That happened. It met the test that the administration had for itself and what constituted success. And we shouldn't forget that or ignore that, journalistically or as Americans. That being said, everything else is a complete screw-up. Everything else is a complete screw-up. And it can be described in no other way. And that's the most charitable way to describe everything else as a screw-up. Republicans on Capitol Hill are clinging to mistake. No, no. Much more than a mistake, because everyone involved had been briefed, trained, knows. I mean, Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, was the former vice chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee. He knows all about these protocols and procedures. The CIA director knows. The Defense Secretary ought to have known, because he went on and on in his previous Fox life about the necessity of careful, scrupulous, and mindful protocols regarding classified information, war plans, and the like. Everybody on that chain should have said, we should not be here. This is not a topic for Signal. There is a National Security Agency Administration advisory, the Trump National Security Agency advisory that we got just weeks ago, saying the only thing that should be on Signal, this unsecured commercial app that government officials talk about, is when their kids are playing soccer or when they're going to church or when they're going to go to Applebee's. Mm. That kind of stuff. Benign, run-of-the-mill stuff that we can all relate to. Not this stuff. Everyone should have said, we're getting off this now. I'm not participating. I'm not sending a designee to be on this thing. This thing is a colossal screw-up, and I'm not participating. None of them did that, which tells you what? Or at least implies very strongly what? This ain't the only time, kids. This ain't the only time. This is common. There's only one way to think about this. If nobody objected, that means it's somewhat common. And if it's somewhat common, not only does it jump all the sharks of protocol, ignore all the things that you're supposed to do, it might very well violate some pretty specific laws about the mishandling of super important secret information, for which lesser Americans have been fully prosecuted.
Major, in context here, I think we all have to assume this is not the first time in history this has happened. Of course, we know about the classified documents with both President Trump and President Biden. They had their mishaps with it. We know about the emails from Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. So just how much should we be concerned that maybe members of the higher up class in government might be mm-hmm. using channels they're not supposed to?
It's an open question. It's an open question now. And one of the people who is most important to watch as this story plays out is a gentleman named Roger Wicker. He is the Republican chairman of the Armed Services Committee. And Roger Wicker did everything in his power as the chairman of that committee to make sure that Pete Hegseth, narrow though it was, the most narrow vote for confirmation of all the Trump nominees, got through. And he would not have gotten through if Roger Wicker had not applied maximum political and procedural muscle to get Hegseth through. Despite his own personal wonderings, and I'm putting it diplomatically, wonderings about Hegseth's core qualifications for this job. And those core qualifications are now up for scrutiny because he's the one who put the war plans in the text chain. Then, recklessly, bald-faced lied about it, which has now been confirmed by The Atlantic, with the subsequent information released from that text chain. So not only was Hegseth the one who was most reckless on the chain, he then lied about it in public denounced the reporter as having an agenda, when it's now quite clear, whatever you think of Jeff Goldberg, he handled this as sensitively and as non-aggressively as could be handled. And he has what the kids call receipts.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one in the Trump White House has disputed the authenticity of this text chain. No one, because they know it's real.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Major, so many angles and questions here. I was not impressed with Pete Hegseth gaslighting, lying to the American people, and doing so, and this is me editorializing, I thought he seemed emotional and defensive in the interview, which is a bad quality in a Secretary of Defense. Again, that's my opinion of it. But there is also, in this text thread or in the Signal thread, you have J.D. Vance speculating mm-hmm. that President Trump doesn't understand the consequences of bombing the Houthis and how he thinks they were making a mistake, that it's inconsistent with his message to Europe. So you have Vance telling, I mean, how many members of the cabinet are in this group? A third? Still telling the cabinet that the president doesn't understand what's going on.
Yeah, that's one issue. And the president and the vice president will sort that out. And MAGA world has been all week long debating what that means and if it's loyal or disloyal or more MAGA or less MAGA. My only point about that is prepare yourself, MAGA and America, for what every revolutionary, those are their words, not mine. Vance calls this a revolution. Steve Bannon calls it a revolution. Stephen Miller calls it a revolution. At times, the President of the United States calls it. So they're calling it a revolution. Every revolution comes to a point where it applies internal purity tests. Hmm. Who's most pure? They go through that process. I'm not saying it's happening now, but in the dissection of this online in the MAGA world, that's begun to happen. It won't be the first time. It's not the first time, and it won't be the last. The second thing, of course, is Hegseth and J.D. Vance stomping all over Europe, calling them pathetic freeloaders. Only we can do this. They don't do anything for us. Whether you believe that or not believe it, they believe it. And this, the coarseness of that language now fully revealed to the Europeans signals to them just how much contempt at least Pete Hegseth and J.D. Vance have for Europe, and that there was no defense at all on that text chain at all also indicates that most everyone else in the Trump administration is probably closer to that opinion than farther away from it, which is a signal, as if Europe needed another one, that it better chart its own course or chart a course different than the one it's charted pre-Trump 2.0.
Speaking of Vance, he is set to make make a trip to Greenland, which has been topic of conversation because mm-hmm. the president thinks we should have it. So what do we expect to happen in that meeting, which is already supposed to be contentious?
So some of it will be symbolic. Some of it will be substantive. I'm sure Vance and the second lady, Usha Vance, will tread somewhat to their mind gently, perhaps not to the mind of the Greenlanders, not to the mind of the Danes. Look, I've had on my show, America Decides, numerous international security experts who say the following. Greenland is an important issue for the United States. Has been dating back to World War II. What's going on now with climate change and navigation closer to the Arctic Circle, Chinese and Russia, makes it an even more important security issue. Totally legit. That's not phony or fanciful. President Trump has decided to put a very bright light on that. Just because he's shining a bright light on it doesn't mean it's not legit. There are parts of it that are very legit. How he's shining that light, how he's trying to blind the Danes and blind some of the Greenlanders into thinking the only way out of this is to capitulate to this newly elected or reelected American president is what's rankled the Danes and many Greenlanders. How this all ends, I haven't the foggiest idea. But it is clear this administration wants to press the point, press its muscularity, for as long as it can. How much longer will it last? I don't know. But let me suggest this. If in Canada, Mark Carney, the new leader of the Liberal Party, wins in the snap election he called on April 28th, that will be a signal to this White House that you're running out of time. that politics are moving and politics are not moving with you. They're moving against you simply because you are ruffling feathers and offending people and acting in ways that cause them, possibly against their own best interests, to rally themselves in a nationalist way just to push you back a little bit.
Major, I know there's so much to keep track of right now, but a story that broke my heart earlier was that in the midst of all the Doge cuts, they cut funding to a program that was helping to track Ukrainian children who had been captured, kidnapped, stolen from their families by the Russians in order to Russify and brainwash them. And we were trying to, I think in conjunction with Yale University, help keep track so when the war's over, we can return these children to their families. And both parties in Congress have said, we think that list has been permanently deleted. What do we know about this?
Exactly what you just described. And when the president was asked about it this week, he said, yeah, that's a consideration. We're going to talk about it. So what? That's pure lip service. You have a program that's built and created to track for the purposes of returning these children. If you eliminate that database, what are you signaling to the Russians? And what are you signaling to the Ukrainians about the ability to negotiate over this? But you're talking about what? Something that no longer exists? Something that's no longer a priority? Because if it was, you'd keep the program. These things are up to people. They can make decisions about this. And Doge and Musk and those around them have been so empowered. And the president keeps telling us, again, I just quote him, they're executing his wishes. So you can't separate one from the other. When he says, yeah, we'll talk about it, and eliminates the means by which something of this specificity can be discussed, you have to say to yourself, you're not very serious about whatever that conversation is having.
Major Garrett, I know that you'll be telling us as soon as you have more information on the takeout. We are...
Yes.
Yeah.
Coming.
Call us first.
Very soon. Very soon.
Okay. We appreciate you as always.
Happy opening day, everybody.
Yes.
Happy opening day, Major Garrett. Thank you for being with us again.
All right. Talk to you next week.
That is Major Garrett, Chief Washington Correspondent for CBS News and the host of America Decides on CBS News 24/7. It's Chris and Amy on opening day on 104.1 FM KMOX.
104.1 FM KMOX, your voice of the Cardinals, is broadcasting live from Kegs and Eggs, presented by Budweiser. Is also sponsored by St. Louis Composting, building something that lasts, and create the ultimate raised bed garden with St. Louis Composting, and by Rally House, your city, your house, Rally House.
Yeah, we're on until 12 o'clock today, and then it's Wheeler and Glover, or Glover and Wheeler. That's what's happening here at Cardinals Nation at Ballpark Village. We are joined now in person by Cardinals television broadcaster Chip Carey on the Chris and Amy show. Chip, this never gets old, does it?
It's amazing. You guys look great, by the way. Happy New Year.
Oh, wow. Wait, well, thank you. I have my Canadian tuxedo on, but you've got a cravat.
I've got
isn't that a cravat in your, pocket?
Pocket handkerchief.
Is a cravat just around your neck?
I don't know what you're talking. Oh, you're talking about the...
ascot?
The ascot.
Yeah,
ascot's the one that goes around your neck.
Well, then I think that is a cravat.
Have you ever done an ascot?
No. You look very sharp.
But I still have time to get ready. It's 3:15 start. I can go manufacture one real quick.
I think all you need is a scarf and you fold it a certain way.
I can
You'll
do
be
that.
Right. Yeah, tuck it into your shirt.
Well, Happy New Year, guys.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you.
Thanks. It's amazing.
Feeling good?
Feel great. Being a St. Louisan, growing up here, this is my third opening day live in person. It never gets old. It's such a civic celebration. You see so many smiling faces, people from all across the country coming in. I went to get coffee this morning. A nice gentleman who's 50 years old from North Dakota has come down. This is his first opening day in person. Another group of people from Kansas have come in for the first time. They've seen it on TV, and they've always wondered what it's like around Ballpark Village and the Clydesdales and the Hall of Famers and the Red Jackets, and they are all so excited about that first moment when they walk into the stadium.
You know, there are a lot of great baseball fan bases, but I feel like Cardinals fans, we are lucky to be in one of those fan bases where there's such great reach. Yankees are Yankees fans are all over the place, right? Cubs fans are all over the country. Dodgers fans are all over the country. Cardinals fans are in huge parts of the country, too. And I think we're very lucky to have that kind of community that is as widespread as it is.
And so much of that is because of Camo X. Let's face facts. Yeah. I mean, the 50,000-watt blowtorch, when Harry Carey and Jack Buck were doing the games, went north to the Canadian border with the signal, went east to the Atlantic Ocean, south to the Gulf of Mexico, or Gulf of America, whatever you want to call it, and the Rocky Mountains. And the voices of Cardinal baseball carried the traditions and history of the franchise almost all the way across North America. When I was in college at Georgia, I would tune in to blues games on the radio in Panama City, Florida, where I'd go and hang out. And I could hear KMOX's signal more clearly than WSB, which was 600 miles closer and in Atlanta. Wow. So to your point about Cardinal Nation and the exponential growth around North America, it's in large part because of Harry and Jack, KMOX, and the great Bob Hyland.
You know, Ricky Horton tells a story about him playing for the Cardinals and his parents in New York listened to KMOX. Like, they got KMOX, so they could just listen
and that's the magic,
to the local broadcast.
Right, and that's the magic of radio, right? In the summertime, you know, with these big AM signals across the stratosphere, you know, you could be driving along, making a cross-country drive, and you could tune in and listen to the Cincinnati Reds game. When that ended, you'd flip over, and the Cardinals were on. And then as you kept going west, maybe you'd hear Vin Scully and Ross Porter doing the Dodgers games. I mean, that's the magic of radio, quite obviously, but also the magic of our sport is the game's the same, but the different presentations, the different cultural aspects of it, the way that people describe the game, it really was theater of the mind and magical.
It's interesting talking about this because, you know, I grew up during a time, too, where we didn't have the app. You know, you couldn't listen to the station wherever you are. We get people who are in Europe and they're listening. But there was something very cool about turning on the radio and, oh, I could pick up KMOX. I'm on Lakeshore Drive in Chicago. I can barely pick it up. There was something very cool about that. And I guess it's sort of lost. Even though it's great to have access to it wherever you are, there is something a little lost about that. Can I find it and seek it, you know?
The magic of the static on the radio, kind of like an LP record. You know, you hear the little scratches or the imperfections in the sound, but there's so much more depth to it, I guess.
It's character.
The Japanese word is umami, right? When you eat something and it just there's no flavor to it, but it's just a sensory thing. I agree with you. That's something that's missed. But look, the trade-off is more and more people are exposed to the product, not just locally, but around the world.
Let's talk about the team. Okay, we're going to get started today. The Cardinals host the Minnesota Twins, first of the season. All right, so roster, just tell us what you think.
I think it's going to be an interesting year. I asked Oliver Marmol that yesterday. What are we? I think if there was one question that Cardinals fans have about this team is, what are we? Vince Coleman was here a few minutes ago entertaining people here at Cardinals Live. His Cardinals teams hit the ball on the turf and run like the wind, create havoc on the base paths. There was a thematic nature to that team. This team, young, hungry, underdogs, misfits is a term that I've had guys describe them as themselves. What are they? Well, we're going to find out. These guys are going to have the runway. I hate that word, but more of an opportunity. These guys are going to have an opportunity to show what they are, what they aren't, and show the Cardinals organization whether they're going to be the foundational pieces of this franchise going forward. And that's really, really important, I think.
Yeah, when you look at a team that's not as flashy as the Dodgers, it's not. It's not the Yankees. Mm-hmm. It's not the Dodgers. Then you're going to look at a couple of aspects that really determine the trajectory of your season. One, the individual performances of each player. And two, how those players come together so that the team itself is greater than the sum of its parts.
That's a great point, and that's, again, something I asked Ollie at the workout yesterday. He said, this is my fourth spring training as a major league manager, and he said, far and away, this was my favorite. This group is very tight. They're very close. There's a bond there. It's loose, relaxed, focused, but there isn't that overwhelming pressure of, oh, my gosh, if I go 0-for-12, I'm on my way back to Memphis. That has been taken away in large part because of the organizational decisions of young guys are getting a chance to show their stuff. So now it's up to them, right? It's not the manager, the hitting coach, the pitching coach, the first base coach. It's about the guys. And I think these guys are eager to show what they can do. I mean, we all remember when we were 23, 24, just give me a chance and let me take off. Well, let's get behind these guys and support them and see where they go and grow with them and see what could happen.
I know that scoring runs was difficult for this team last season. If it's going to happen this year, I guess the easy thing to say is it will have to be the whole lineup, right? So everybody's going to have to contribute.
Right.
But when you lose Paul Goldschmidt, that becomes even clearer, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, last year the Cardinals were last in our league with hitting and runners in scoring position. That just can't happen. The Cardinals have to slug. They were in the bottom third in slugging percentage. Didn't hit a ton of homers, didn't hit a lot of doubles, didn't cash in run scoring chances. If they want to win, they've got to do that. I think almost by accident you have to be better than last in your league hitting with runners in scoring position. I think Nolan Arenado is primed to have a huge comeback year. This guy is really motivated to show that the last year and a half is not who he is and what he's been as a Cardinal. He wants to go to the Hall of Fame, and he's happy to be here. He's happy to stay. He's happy to lead, and a happy, motivated Nolan Arenado is good for him, but I think good for us too.
Is there anyone that you're looking at on this roster that has maybe the potential for the biggest swing as far as their individual performance of it could be a rough season or they could blow it out of the water? That pendulum swing might be the widest.
Yeah, well, look, I think it's been 25 years since the Cardinals had a homegrown middle-of-the-lineup hitter, Albert Pujols, right? I mean, that's hard to do. Jordan Walker has a chance to be that kind of an impact bat. I'm looking for him to have a big year. I'm really excited about Matthew Liberatore in the rotation. He learned an awful lot about pitching in the bullpen and being aggressive and trusting his stuff and going out and showing that I don't have to be afraid of those hitters. I can respect them, but I'm not afraid of them. I'm going to set the tone, and I think that mind shift is really going to help him. So when you start thinking about this year with the Cardinals, if you get Walker, and they're big ifs, let's face it, but the Cardinals need to know about Burleson, Walker, Gorman, Nootbaar. Those four guys, can they stay healthy? Can they play 135 or more games and be consistent forces in the lineup and defensively? If they are, well, then you've got a big leg up going forward. Then you look at the rotation. Pallante, McGreevy, Liberatore, Hence, Matthews, these young guys are starting to percolate their way through the system, which gives you a lot of hope for not just the present but the future. And you will see this year at times all 10 guys in the starting lineup will be homegrown Cardinal players. Think about that. That might happen a time or two this year. That doesn't happen in Major League Baseball anymore. So fans who say, well, the farm system hasn't produced fruit, well, that's not true. It's all here. Now we're waiting for that next wave to come in and supplement what we have at the Major League level. And, again, that's the most exciting part of the game, is seeing kids get a chance to spread their wings and soar.
Yeah, I mean, getting the chance was supposed to be this year. Had they been able to make the deal for Arenado to free up space, it would have been Nolan Gorman to reap the benefits of that. Can you see still him getting the 500, 550 at-bats they've been talking about with him?
I'm going to ask Ollie that question a little bit later. That's going to be the challenge, right? And at some point, it's not just opportunity-driven, it's performance-driven.
Right.
Right? Alec Burleson had the better spring training than Nolan Gorman did. Alec Burleson had the better year last year than Nolan Gorman did, and I assume that Alec will be in the starting lineup as the designated hitter. But there will be days where Ollie's going to match up and move Brendan Donovan around. Gorman will see some time at second base. He might see a time or two at third if Arenado needs a day off. Burleson's going to DH. Then you've got Herrera, who can DH when Pajes catches. So on one side of the coin, it's a real interesting dilemma for the manager. On the other side, it's a really good problem to have, where you have too many talented, capable players and not enough spots.
Yeah, so in a season like this, it does seem that maybe the thumbprint of the manager could be more significant than it would be on a team where you have more veteran players, you have guys whose identities are set, you know their role, that's it, no questions asked. So a manager, Ollie, might have, you know, more of influence than an average manager would this year.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I think that one great strength that Oliver has is, number one, he's incredibly prepared. There's not a situation that he is not ready for on a day-to-day basis. And we're lucky. We get to talk to him every day for a half hour before the game. He tells us everything that we need to know to prepare for the game. He's been incredibly transparent and helpful in that regard. Secondly, Ollie's nature is and background is player development. He understands what that's like, and more of that happens at the major league level now than it has at any time in our game. He knows how these guys think, trying to make their way and find their way as major league regular players. I think he's going to be terrific at that. And let's not forget, Ollie's first year, they won 93 games here. Year two, when the new broadcaster came, it wasn't so good.
Well, it's not you.
Okay, good. Well, that was a little worried.
Rooney won with the White Sox and came here and won with the Cardinals.
That's right, back-to-back rings, Chip.
Sorry.
Two different teams.
Sorry I brought that up.
I'm so uncomfortable.
Then, now that I think about it, Chip.
Yeah, thanks. And then last year, a 12-game improvement, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
As I said earlier, almost by accident, the team has to be better offensively. And that's not a knock on anybody. It's just the way you have to look at things. They won 83 games. If the Cardinals can squeeze five or six more wins out of a group that's ostensibly the same as last year, well, then you're talking about division, top of the division, playoffs and all of that, and who knows what happens.
Yeah, last thing, they're going to start the season with a typical five-man rotation.
Yeah.
What happens when they go to six?
Guys are going to get an extra day, and that's just the nature of the game now. I think it'll be interesting to see what Sonny Gray has in store for us today. He didn't look good this spring. He has said, I've had terrible springs and great seasons. I've had great springs and terrible years. So we're going to find out what he has in store for the Twins. But I think, again, the Cardinals have to find out, what is Libertor, what is Pallante, what is McGreevy, when does Quinn Matthews get here, and what are they going to get out of that bullpen, which was so good last year? Is it going to be as good this season? And will they hit? If they do, we're going to have a fun summer either way. But I really believe that this group, these young guys, are excited to play for the front of the uniform. They're going to play hard. Hard nine innings, and I think it's a group of guys that our fan base is going to get behind. I know I am, and my mantra has been, come grow with us. Come grow with us and see where we can go.
All right, Chip, go call a winner today.
I'll do my best.
If not, well, you know, nothing really happens. You'll just come back on Saturday.
I hope so, weather permitting. Let's keep the rain away.
That's right.
You guys look great.
Positively.
Thank you for having me.
That's so nice.
Half as good as you do,
I'm going to give you my cravat.
What?
Here you go.
Wait, don't give that to her.
Is there a pocket?
She'll just waste it.
No, this is so
exciting. She doesn't even know how to use a pocket square.
Here we go.
There you go. Beautiful.
You go.
Look at that.
Oh, my gosh. It's beautiful.
It's game-worn material.
I'm so honored.
Chip Perry, good to see
you. Thank you.
On the television broadcast side for the St. Louis Cardinals, we have a lot coming up today. Bill DeWitt the third will join the show. Benji and Polo will be with us. My word. Also, John Rooney and Rick Horton will join us here on the Chris Adame Show from Ballpark Village at Cardinals Nation 104.1 FM KMOX.
Broadcasting live from Cardinals Nation Restaurant is sponsored by St. Louis Composting and by Rally House, your home for Cardinals baseball. 104.1 FM KMOX.
Chris Ronji, Amy Mark Scores with you live from Cardinals Nation. And hey, let's jump into one of our new opening day traditions, and that is celebrating the SDL Work Zone Awareness Run and Work Zone Awareness. I say month. It could be week, but I like to think of April as Work Zone Awareness Month. And so we bring in Tom Evers, MoDOT Assistant District Engineer, and J.C. Murray, Transportation Department Manager for AECOM. They are leading the Work Zone 5K. It's been a few years now you guys have joined us here live at Kegs and Eggs.
Yeah, absolutely. We're glad to be here, and thanks for making this an annual tradition.
Absolutely. Well, and now this Work Zone Awareness 5K. Tell us what's behind it. What's the reason behind it, the motivation behind it, and how it's grown?
Yeah, it's been an annual tradition. We're starting our 12th year here. And, you know, it's all about work zone awareness, right? We want everyone out there. This race is all about raising awareness for work zones. You're going to see a lot of work zones out and about in the area. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that people take it slow know the owners and see the all the workers that are there and just appreciate that there so that they can take it slow and work through this. So this race is all about raising that awareness, right, mm-hmm. and making sure that motors take it slow in construction zones.
So. And, like, even more important than ever because there is so much distracted driving. I mean, people have their phones in their hands. They're looking around. People are busy. They get frustrated because there might be traffic or a slowdown because of a work zone. But here are all these MoDOT workers, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, husbands, wives, working on the roads to make sure that we can get home safely. So the whole point of Work Zone Awareness, the Safety Month, and the 5K is to make all of us more aware to make sure they can get home safely to their families after working on the roads, which is a pretty dangerous job.
Yep. Absolutely. And you're exactly right, Amy. We have to be really focused on safe driving behaviors. We try to design our projects to be as safe as possible for people to drive through. And you're right. I mean, these workers are literally feet away from live traffic going 50, 60 miles per hour. So it can be very dangerous work. But if people pay attention and slow down going into a work zone, we never have issues with that. If people are just cognizant and just focusing on the road and what they really need to do driving through everywhere, but especially a work zone.
Are you able to measure how effective campaigns like this are to raise awareness on this?
I think just getting the awareness out really helps highlight that, you know, yes, you know, winter is over, so there's less work zones happening. People are going to see a lot more cones out there anyway and signs, so it's going to be pretty apparent. I think campaigns like this really do help people, like, think about it. Like, do put your phone down. Do make sure you're, you know, trying to drive the speed limit. I know that sometimes that's hard for us to do, but you know, to try to get to that, like, safe driving speed, safe distance behind someone that you're traveling behind, because you don't know when something's going to jump out in front of you or something unexpected.
JC, tell us how the 5K has grown and what you're looking forward to with this year's 5K.
We are really excited. This is going to actually be our largest year. We're anticipating almost 700 runners participating. So we're excited this year that we have partnered with an organization called Let Me Run. So it's a boys group that has third through fifth grade boys who in the community of are running now. They're practicing. They're doing kind of 7 weeks of training, a couple days a week, kind of building their character and kind of empowering the boys to with exercise, but also kind of working on building their character. So there's 120 boys that are participating in that. Then they will be joining our race here. And then kind of, this race is kind of cultivating their training, right? They've done 7 weeks of training, and now they get to join our race. And then we're excited because we're going to have a lot of the construction equipment there, right? So what third through fifth grader doesn't want to come and climb around some backhoes, some snow plows, and some other things from St. Louis County and MoDOT that we're going to have at the site? So we're excited for this partnership. And, you know, awesome. We also have the Missouri State Highway Patrol that is a partner, St. Louis County, and then MoDOT, right? So those kind of are four key partners that just make this, you know, make this race happen.
And so people can go to MoDOT.org/STLewis to sign up for the 5K April 19th. Tom Evers, JC Murray, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much for having us.
Yep, thank you.
It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.